Yesterday, we come to the end of the first four group, and that is when breathing in long, he knows I am breathing in long, and when breathing in short, he knows I am breathing in short, and so on. And making clear the whole body of breath as a breathe in and breathe out, and calming or tranquilizing the bodily formation as a breathe in and breathe out. So the commentary Visuddhimagga gave a very detailed explanation of this this first four group, and he said that by practicing this meditation, first the person will get jhana, and then making that jhana the object of meditation, he will practice vipassana and ultimately reach arahantship. Now the second four group. Making clear the PT, I shall breathe in. Thus he trained. And making clear PT, I shall breathe out. Thus he trained. And then making clear sukha, I shall breathe in and breathe out. And third is citta sankhara vadisamvedi, making clear the mental formation, I shall breathe in and breathe out. And tranquilizing the mental formation, I shall breathe in and breathe out. Now, it is mentioned in the commentary that this tetrad or four group, and the next four group so these four group are to be understood as both samatha and vipassana. So when practicing samatha meditation also, he will make evident, or he will make clear the PT and so on. So in order to understand this, first you must understand the jhanas. According to the commentary, there are four jhanas. First jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. And the first jhana the first jhana consists of five factors: initial application, sustained application, PT, sukha, and one pointedness of mind. Second jhana has three factors: PT, sukha, and one pointedness of mind. Third jhana has two factors: sukha and one pointedness of mind. And fourth jhana has also two factors, but here instead of sukha, here is upekkha. So ubekha and one-pointedness of mind. So these are the four jhanas. Now viti, in how many jhanas do you find viti? First jhana, there is viti. Second jhana, there is viti. So these two. So these two he practices, and the while in the samapatti, he is said to make clear the piti, and that is by that is by two things. Now, the object of jhana here is breathing in and out. So actually, when he enters into the jhana, he takes breathing in and out as object. But here, when he enters into this jhana, piti is here taken as not really object of meditation, but when the object is taken, then piti is also taken. So when he enters into first jhana or second jhana, his mind takes breathing in and breathing out, or the sign of breathing in and breathing out as object. But at the same time, piti is also said to be known, because the object is known. When the object is known, then the one that takes the object is also known. So by way of object, piti is said to be known when he enters into first jhana or second jhana. And first he enters into one of the two jhanas, and then he emerges from that jhana, and then piti that is concomitant with jhana he takes as object of meditation, and this time it is vipassana meditation. So he takes piti as subject to disappearing, subject to falling. And so at the vipassana moment, piti is said to be made clear by way of non-delusion. That means he knows the he knows piti as subject to falling, subject to disappearing. And so he knows the characteristic of piti, and that is called he knows piti by way of non-delusion. And then sukha patisamvidhi. He made clear sukha, and practice meditation. Now, when it is said he makes sukha, how many jhanas can you get? First jhana, second jhana, third jhana. So, among the three jhanas, he may enter into any one of the jhanas. And then he will make clear the sukha or pleasure concomitant with that jhana. That is by way of jhana or by way of by way of jhana. And when he enters into this first or second or third jhana, and then emerge from it, and then make the sukha the object of meditation, and he practices vipassana on that sukha, and at that time he makes clear sukha by way of non-delusion. I shall breathe in tranquilizing. I shall breathe in, making clear the mental formation. So the word, the Pali word is citta sankhara. So citta sankhara is here translated as mental formation. And citta sankhara means vedana and sanya, two aggregates. So vedana and sanya are called citta sankhara. And when he practices meditation, he makes them clear. And I shall breathe in, tranquilizing the mental formation, and breathe out, tranquilizing the mental formation. So, tranquilizing means tranquilizing means the gross mental formations, and making gross mental formation tranquilized, or making gross mental formations disappear. So making gross mental formation disappear, I shall breathe in and I shall breathe out. So he trains in this way.
What?
And this four group is said to be vedana nupassana. It is in another sutta, the commentary, the Pali explains that this is the vedana nupassana. Since it is within a nupassana, by the word PT, now I shall make PT clear. So by the word PT, we must understand vedana and not really PT, because PT is not vedana. So although PT is mentioned here, we must understand that it means sukha, sukha vedana, and in the next, I shall read in making clear pleasure. Then pleasure is also sukha. Then that is direct. And citta sankhara is, as I said, sanya, vedana, and sanya. So here, sanya, the vedana concomitant with sanya is taken. So by piti, vedana is taken, by raksha, by pleasure, vedana is taken, and by mental formation also, vedana is taken. And so this group is by way of vedana nupassana. And the next four is by way of citta nupassana. So making clear the citta, I will making clear the mind or citta, I shall breathe in, I shall breathe out. And then gladdening the mind, I shall breathe in, I shall breathe out. And concentrating the mind, I shall breathe in, I shall breathe out. Liberating the mind, I shall breathe in, I shall breathe out. Altogether, four. So here, because it is said the making clear the citta, that means all the jhanas, because all the jhanas are associated with citta. So the making clear the mind of citta, I shall breathe in and I shall breathe out. And second one is gladdening the mind, I shall breathe in and I shall breathe out. Now, gladdening can be understood in two ways, by way of jhana and by way of vipassana. So by way of jhana, the jhanas concomitant with piti, two jhanas. So among two jhanas, one of the two jhanas he would enter into. And when he is in the jhana, then the Bidhi, which is concomitant with jhana, with Bidhi, which is concomitant with jhana, he gladdened the mind. So that is by way of jhana. And by way of vipassana, again, the first jhana or second jhana, he would enter into, and then after getting out from that jhana, the piti, which is concomitant with jhana, he would practice vipassana as subject to disappearing, subject to falling. So at the vipassana moment, the piti that is concomitant with jhana is the object, and he makes the mind gladden with that piti, and he trains thus: I shall breathe in, concentrating the mind; I shall breathe out, concentrating the mind. So here also, because mind is mentioned, any kind of jhana will do. So any kind of jhana, he would enter into, and by way of jhana, he knows the mind, and then he enters into one of these jhanas and then get out of it, and the citta, which is concomitant with jhana, he practices meditation on as subject to disappearing, subject to fall. And so during the vipassana moment, there arises khanika siddhi, momentary concentration, which penetrates into the three characteristics of impermanent suffering and no soul. So by that momentary concentration, he keeps the mind he keeps the mind on the object, liberating the mind. I shall breathe in, liberating the mind. I shall breathe out. Now, by first jhana, the hindrances, I mean, by first jhana, the mind is liberated from mind is liberated from, what is that? Vivarana.
Hindrances.
Hindrances. So mind is liberated from hindrances, and Duddhiyajana, by Duddhiyajana, Vitakka and Vichara, the mind is liberated from Vitakka and Vichara. By Tatiyajana, mind is liberated from Piti, and by Chatuttha Jhana, mind is liberated from Sukha and Dukkha. So in that case, when entering into one of these jhanas, then he liberates the mind from nivaranas and so on. So that is according to jhana. Then he enters into one of these jhanas, and then gets out of it, and the citta, which is concomitant with jhana, he takes as object of meditation, and he practices meditation as subject to disappearing, subject to falling. So at the vipassana moment, by contemplating on anicca, he is liberating the mind from nature. I mean, nature sanya, the notion of nature sanya, and by dukkha, by contemplating on dukkha, he liberates the mind from sukha sanya, and by anatta, contemplating on anatta, he liberates the mind from anatta sanya and so on. So the Liberating the mind is in two ways. While in the jhana, or out of the jhana, and while practicing meditation, vipassana meditation. Now, the first three chaitras. In the first three chaitras, both samatha and vipassana can be practiced. But now, in the fourth chaitra, vipassana only, and no samatha here. So the fourth chaitra is, I shall breathe in contemplating impermanence. I shall breathe out contemplating impermanence. I shall breathe in contemplating fading away. I shall breathe out contemplating fading away. I shall breathe in contemplating cessation. I shall breathe out contemplating cessation. I shall breathe in contemplating relinquishment. And I shall breathe out contemplating relinquishment. So these four are the fourth chitra. And there, anicca, contemplating impermanence. That is contemplation on impermanence. And viraga nupas, the contemplation fading away. And there, fading away is of two kinds. Fading away of is of two kinds. Fading away and absolute fading away, just fading away and absolute fading away. Two things. Fading with the ordinary fading away is fading away of formations, and at every moment the formations are arising and disappearing, and so fading away is there. And also Nibbana is called fading away because it is the ultimate fading away. So the contemplating fading away means these two, with these two contemplating, or in other words, the contemplation, this contemplation is done with vipassana and magga. And contemplation of cessation is the same as contemplation of fading away. So two cessations, and then vipassana and magga, the same as the contemplation on fading away. Now, the last one is contemplating relinquishment. Now here, relinquishment is of two kinds. Relinquishment as abandoning, and relinquishment as rushing into or going into. That means going into is also called relinquishment, and the the doing away with it is also called relinquishment. Now, vipassana is called both relinquishment as relinquishment as relinquishment as going into and relinquishment as I cannot doing away with it. Now vipassana is called both relinquishment because by this self, or let's say by momentary abandonment, vipassana abandons the defilement. And when the yogi sees the and when they see the sankhata dosa, so when he sees the bad things about the formations, it is inclined towards nirvana. That means it rushes to nirvana. Actually, vipassana does not take nirvana as object, but when it finds fault with the formations, it is said to be inclined towards nirvana. And so vipassana is both relinquishment by abandoning and relinquishment by rushing into or entering into. Megha is also two kinds of relinquishment: relinquishment by abandoning and relinquishment by entering into. Now, when megha arises, it eradicates all kilesas. It abandons all kilesas, and so it is called relinquishment by abandoning. And also when magga arises, it takes nirvana as object, and so it is like entering into nirvana. So it is called Parisaga Padi Nisako, I mean Pakhandana Padi Nisako, is and relinquishment by entering into. So these two. So when he practices vipassana meditation, or he practices vipassana meditation and gets magga, then he is said to be contemplating relinquishment. So these last four is pure vipassana, but the other the other fours, 1, 2, 3, and so the other fours are both samatha and vipassana. And two and three are for those who have attained jhana with the mindfulness of breathing meditation. So the anapanasati, only the first four are taught in Satipatthana Sutta, and the other four are not taught there, but taught here and also in another sutta called Anapanasati Sutta. Okay. So that is how mindfulness of breathing is developed and cultivated, so that it is of great fruit and great benefits. When mindfulness of breathing is developed and cultivated in this way, even the final in-breath and out-breath are known as they cease and not unknown. This is the benefit mentioned by the Buddha in this discourse. What is the benefit you get from practicing mindfulness of breathing meditation? You know? Even the final in-breath and out-breath are known as they cease and not unknown. Now, that simply means he dies calmly, mindful, and aware. Now, it is said in the commentary that those who practice breathing meditation and gets to be arhats knows when they will die. But those who get arhatship with other type of meditation may or may not know. But those who practice mindfulness meditation really know when they are going to die, and they die peacefully. And the commentary gives the story of one thera, and on the day of his death, so he asked first, I think it was at night. And so he asked the other monks that have you seen a bhikkhu attain parinibbana? In what posture? Then some say in the seat, and some say in the cross-legged posture in the air. Then he said, I will attain nirvana, or say I will die walking. So he draws a line, his walking space, he draw a line. And then he said, I will go to the end of the line and then come back. And when I come back and reach this mark, he make a mark, and reach this mark, I will die. And so he went, and then he came back. And when he reached the mark, he died. So those who attain enhancement by this meditation, by breathing meditation, even know when they will die. So, Bora taught Rahula many kinds of meditation. This you should notice. The meditation should be chosen according to one's own temperament, but that is not always true. So here, to one person, Buddha taught seven kinds of meditation. So actually, meditation is beneficial, and it is suitable for every person. And there is not a single subject of meditation which is not conducive to samadhi and attainment. So you can practice any kind of meditation. That is what the Blessed One said. The Venerable Rahula was satisfied and delighted in the Blessed One's words. Rahula should have become a arahant by this sutta, right? This sutta taught many kinds of meditation, but he did not. I think because his faculties are not yet mature. So here, and no one gets enlightenment, and because Rahula is the only one who takes this advice. So the Venerable Rahula was satisfied and delighted, only this. So now we are we turn to the sutta after listening which Rahula attained arahantship. So you might think that it is a very great sutta, but actually it is more or less like the Rahula Sanyutta. So thus have I heard, on one occasion the Blessed One was living at Savatthi in Jeta's grove, Ananda Bindika's park. Then, while the Blessed One was alone in meditation, a thought arose in his mind thus. The states that ripen in deliverance have ripened in Rahula. That means the states that the states for the deliverance are ripened in Rahula. Suppose I were to lead him on further to the destruction of the chains. So that means now Rahula has necessary conditions, and his faculties are all mature, and so now I lead him on further to the destruction of the taints. Now I will teach him so that he become an arahant. And then when it was morning, the Blessed One dressed and taking his bowl and the outer robe, went into Savatthi for alms. Now, the Blessed One, thought in this way when he was surveying the walls in the morning. So, when he surveyed the wall in the morning, he saw Rahula and quite ready to accept his teachings. And so, when it was morning, he dressed and then took his bowl and went out for alms in Savatthi. When he had walked for alms in Savatthi and had returned from his alms round, after his meal, he addressed the Venerable Rahula Das. So after that, he talked to Rahula Das. The Buddha said to Rahula, "Take your sitting cloth with you, Rahula. Let us go to the blind man's grove to pass the day." "Yes, Venerable Sir," the Venerable Rahula replied, and taking his sitting cloth with him, he followed close behind the Blessed One. So, Buddha asked him to take the sitting cloth and then go to the blind man's grove. So, when he was following the Blessed One, now on that occasion, many thousands of deities followed the Blessed One, thinking, "Today the Blessed One will lead the Venerable Rahula Father to the destruction of the taints." Then the Blessed One went into the blind man's grove and sat down at the root of a certain tree on a seat made ready. And then the Venerable Rahula paid homage to the Blessed One and sat down at one side. And the Blessed One said to the Venerable Rahula, "Now, the deities, according to the commentary, the deities are those that make wish when the Rahula in his former birth, Rahula in his former birth, wished for his for this you know, Rahula was foremost among those who are ready to accept admonition. So for that stage, he made a wish to the Vidumottara Buddha long ago. Long ago, he made a aspiration that he would become a son of the Buddha. And at that time, these deities also were there. So these deities are also reborn as, say, human beings. Reborn as deities of the earth, deities of the sky, and Tawadensa deities, Yama deities, and so on. So these deities now know that Buddha was going to lead Venerable Rahula Father to the destruction of the taints, and so they also went with him. And Buddha said, What do you think, Rahula? Is the I permanent or impermanent? Impermanent Venerable Sir. Is what is impermanent suffering or happiness? Suffering, Venerable Sir. Is what is impermanent suffering and subject to change fit to be regarded thus? This is mine, this I am, this is myself. No, Venerable Sir. And so on. So this is not a new thing to you. You already know when you hear the what go Sanyodha Nikaya, right? So Buddha taught here the same thing that he taught Rahula years back, but maybe at that time Rahula was not mature. And so, however much Buddha taught to him, he did not get enlightenment. But this time, he was mature. His faculties have ripened, and so now, by this almost same teaching, he became an arahant. So first, Buddha asked, is I permanent or impermanent, and so on. And then, is rupa, material property, permanent or impermanent? And then, I consciousness permanent or impermanent? I sampasa, eye contact permanent or impermanent? And then Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana, which is caused by eye contact. Permanent or impermanent? In this way, he asked, and Rahula answered the question. He asked about sota, ear, he asked about nose, he asked about tongue, he asked about body, and he asked about mano, I mean mind, and the answer is the same. Seeing thus Rahula, a well-taught noble disciple becomes disenchanted with the eye, disenchanted with the forms, disenchanted with the eye consciousness, and so on. With everything. And being disenchanted, he becomes dispassionate. Through dispassion, his mind is liberated. When it is liberated, there comes the knowledge, it is liberated. And then he understands God is destroyed, the holy life has been lived. What had to be done has been done. There is no more coming to any state of being. So, Buddha lead Rahula to arahantship with this sutta. And that is what the Blessed One said. The Venerable Rahula was satisfied and delighted in the Buddha's words. So Rahula was delighted. And while this discourse was being spoken, through not clinging, the Venerable Rahula's mind was liberated from the chains. That means he became an arahant. So listening, and actually not only listening, practicing also, he became an arahant. And in those many thousands of deities, there arose the spotless immaculate vision of the Dhamma. All that is subject to arising is subject to cessation. So that means those thousands of deities also attained enlightenment. Now, spotless immaculate vision of the Dhamma. it can mean sometimes Sotapatti Magga, sometimes Sotapatti Sakadagami and Anagami and Arahant. And so here the commentary said that it means all four. So some became Sotapanna, some Sakadagami, some Anagamis, and some Arahants. So when this sutta was delivered, Rahula has become a monk. He has become a monk, but not yet attained vasa. So that means maybe he became a monk, but the vasa is not yet finished. So his enlightenment comes only when he became a monk. During the intervening years, although Buddha gave him the discourses here and there, he did not become enlightened. So now, at the age of 20, and became a monk, his faculties were all matured, and so now he became an arahant easily. Okay. Not yet. There's one more sutta. The same, but it is in Anguttara Nikaya. So now the Venerable Rahula came to visit the Blessed One, and on coming to him, saluted him and sat down at one side. And he thus said, as he thus said, the Exalted One said this to the Venerable Rahula. So here also, Rahula came to Buddha and sit at one side. Then Buddha said to Rahula the following sutta. Now the following sutta is also the same as this sutta is very very short, and this is actually included in the Maharavlovara sutta. So Rahula, both the up element in the self, that means in you, and that in external objects, are just this earth element. Thus should it be regarded as it really is by perfect wisdom. This is not of me, not this am I, not to me is this the self. So seeing it as it really is by perfect wisdom, one has reversion for earth elements. By wisdom, one cleanses the heart of passions. So, this is about the earth element. And then, water element, the same. And then, fire element the same, and then air element the same. And now, Rahula, when a monk beholds neither the self nor what pertains to the self in these four elements, so in these four elements, one does not see either the atta, I mean, the self, or pertaining, something pertaining to self. This one is called a monk who has cut off craving. So he has got the enlightenment, and so he is called a monk who has cut off craving, who has loosed the bond. And by perfectly understanding this, vain conceit has made an end of ill. So when you understand in this way that the earth element in the body and outside are just earth element and nothing more, and water element, fire element, and air element the same. So when you see like this, he does not see anything that is atta or something belonging to atta. And so when he does not see this, he is called a monk who has cut off craving. So only an arhat is a monk who has cut off craving, who has loosed his bond, and by perfect understanding, this vain conceit has made an end of ill. Actually, by perfect understanding means by eradicating this vain conceit of mana, has made an end of ill. So that he is the one who has made the end of suffering. And that is the end of this sutta. And the commentary said, Sanyutta, the Rahula Sanyutta, by Rahula Sanyutta, Buddha taught vipassana. And Chula Rahula Vada Sutta also, in Chula Rahula Vada Sutta also, Buddha taught vipassana. Ambalatika Rahula Vada is taught to refrain from telling lies. And then Maharahula Vada, Maharahula Vada, in the Maharahula Vada Sutta, again, vipassana is taught. And here, in this Anguttara Nikaya, the four-limbed sunyata is taught. That means the four elements. So with regard to four elements, there is nothing atta or ataniya, atta or that belongs to atta, and so on. And so in this Anguttara Nikaya, four members sunyata is taught. Okay.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.